Rony Zone Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to Rony Zone Radio, and I am with my lovely wife, Colleen.
Hi.
And it's the 15th episode, and so I figured we would just kind of talk just a bit about where the show has been and where the show's going to go, and what are your thoughts, Colleen?
Well, we've had some really controversial and interesting subjects. We've also had some more lighthearted and fun stuff, and I think we can expect pretty much the same.
I agree, and what I like about the show is it's not just shows about guy stuff. It shows about women's issues. It shows about issues that really cut across both sexes, male and female, and I think it's great. And I think that as the future continues on, that we will continue to create a show that's really a different show. I mean, can you describe what the show is about? It's hard, isn't it?
It really is. When trying to tell people what we're, or actually what you're doing, I frequently don't know what to tell them other than there are many different subjects. It's not, you can't label it. You really can't pin it into a corner. So
I think the greatest thing about the show is, for lack of a better term, it's like ice cream. Everybody likes ice cream, but people love Rocky Road, some people do, and other people hate Rocky Road. And so my hope is that when people scan the list, either on the website or on iTunes, they may find something, hopefully. They find maybe more than one, but something that really just interests them. And I hope that we cover it in such a way that they learn something and take something home, but also have fun too. And even if it's a controversial subject, I think that we cover it in such a way that it's, you learn something. And hopefully it changes you. I know a lot of the things that we've covered really have changed me. And so, anyway, I think it's good to kind of take a little pulse check and see how we're doing and see where we're going. So, let's continue on with episode 15.
Sounds good.
Well, this show we're going to do something different, as usual. I think this show is made up of many little different things that we do all the time. But this show, we're going to take a deviation. We're going to take a little fork off of the road, and we're going to cover a subject that I think is just fascinating. Now, I am a computer person. I like little computer stuff and done a little HTML work and all this kind of stuff. But geeks really have had just a bad reputation. They really have. And I work in a computer company that we develop software, and then we also train that software to the end user. So I know a lot of computer developers, as well as other folks that do other types of work on computers. But there was a guy I knew who started a band and got a band together, actually a gigging band. And come to find out that all the people in this band are computer programmers. Now, I think this show is really going to show you the opposite end of what a programmer can do. Can a programmer be cool? Can a programmer get married? Can a programmer not be geeked out all the time? So I think you're going to have a great time meeting Randy Inman.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to the Rony Zone. I am privileged to have with me on the phone Randy Inman. Randy, go ahead and say hello and introduce yourself a little bit.
Hello, Jeff. Thanks for having me online. My name is Randy Inman, and I'm a part of this experience called FIT. It's a band a bunch of my friends privy to play in, and we're having a good time.
Cool. When and where were you born?
When and where was I born? Born right here in Southern California in Garden Grove.
Okay.
Local boy.
Very good. Did you know what you wanted to be when you grew up, when you were little?
No, not really. I'm probably the basic fireman, police officer, that type of thing. But being that you brought that up, I have to say something for my sister, because my sister always tells me that when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a bicycle. Not quite sure what that means, but she'll laugh when she hears this.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Wow.
I'm not sure how that came about, but she swears that's what I wanted to be.
Well, let's say hi to your sister. Hi.
Hey, Debbie, how you doing?
Hey. Okay. When did you sing in front of a group for the first time?
Oh, I used to go to a church in Garden Grove, and we had a youth group there, and on Sunday nights, you know, church gets together and stuff. Well, they had a youth night.
Okay.
And all my friends there kept saying, hey, Randy, you ought to do something. You ought to do something. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Said, Randy sings all the time. Why don't you get him to sing? I'm like, yeah, forget it. Not in front of anybody. So they finally conned me into it, and I sang in front of church congregation of, you know, maybe 100, 150 people. And
wow.
Nervous as all get out.
Yeah. Wow. But you made it through, okay?
I think so. I barely remember, probably because I was so nervous.
Who were your favorite bands and singers and all when you were growing up?
Oh, when I was growing up, me and my buddy, we were into like Tears for Fears and The Tubes. Mm-hmm. I always liked them. Back then, I was just into the radio, not really, you know, whatever was on, I really wasn't into specifics. So my sister, you know, being 10 years older than me, I heard a lot of the music that she would listen to when I was younger, too, so.
Okay. It sounds like you were more into alternative kinds of stuff.
Yeah, K-Rock.
Okay.
If anybody remembers KROQ, they're still around. Yeah, you're right, alternative stuff, that's probably a good way to put it.
Did you sing anymore after the night at church, or was it kind of a one-shot deal at that point?
I sang a couple times for my parents' 25th wedding anniversary. My mother wanted me to sing for them, so I actually did.
Wow.
And it happened to be at the same church.
Okay.
And yeah, that was not quite as nervous, but then there's a lot more people I knew, so it was just nervous. You know, I was nervous with that, too.
Why did you stop? You know, it sounds like there was a couple of times that you sang and then you just stopped. Why'd you stop?
I guess it wasn't a priority. I mean, okay. I enjoyed it, but, you know, I did karaoke here or there, but, you know, those other things that were more important, you know, your job or girls or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, there are things that take priority. Yeah.
Yes, they do.
After high school, what were your general jobs after that? What did you do?
Oh, after high school? Just odds and end things. A few years after high school, I actually got, I was always doing something with computers, but, you know, data entry and stuff like that. And then I got in with a guy that I was working alongside, and he liked my work habits, my work ethic, whatever, and invited me to come program with him. He was going to pay me and everything. I was like, heck yeah, this is a great opportunity.
Okay. We work together, so we do work under the same banner.
Yes.
And when I first met you, you had long hair.
Yes, I did.
Now, not real long, but I mean long hair.
It was pretty long, down the middle of my back. You know, I was going through a phase. I was recently had been in a band that really didn't go anywhere, but it was more on the country flavor, and, you know, I was just, late 80s, I had started to grow my hair out, you know, and Richard Marx was hot on the radio and everything, and he's always been kind of like an idol of mine.
Okay.
And so, you know, I grow my hair out and everything, you know, kind of like a musician is, you know, was the thing to do, I guess.
Sure. It's always tough to find a day job for a musician that grows their hair out long or whatever. It's a tough gig.
Yes, it is.
But you stepped into programming.
Yes.
And it...
Computer geek.
It's interesting that a computer geek can switch over and be cool in a band. Normally, those two things just don't go together.
That's true. Being a creative person, as I am, it lent really easy for the music. And programming, yeah, I kind of had to put that image aside, you know, a little bit. You know, they really don't mix, like you said.
Right.
But I've told quite a few people that if you ever looked at me and said, hey, you're a computer nerd, aren't you? I probably would have hung myself. So I made sure that I didn't fit that look.
No, you didn't, and that's what always kind of interested me about you, finding out that you had a musical dabblings here and there. That's just not a normal programmer's gig at night. So the couple of things I remembered about you right off the top when I met you was you're a funny guy.
Well, thank you.
Now, you're not as funny as me. Cause
no,
see, this
is as funny as you, Jeff.
Because, see, this is my show.
And I bow down to that. Okay.
But you're a funny guy. and I
remember moments. I don't consider myself a funny guy by any means.
Well, you're a funny guy. Okay. And you are a trivia hound.
I like trivia.
You and the movie Trivia. Wow. I mean, it's a gift.
Yeah, there was a few of us in the office there after hours. We'd get together and go over the movie trivia, the TV trivia. If I remember right, there was you were there a couple times,
mm-hmm.
a few others. Yeah, it was good.
One more little story and we'll move on is the hot sauce story.
Hot sauce.
Now, you tasted some hot sauce. How far did you get up the chain and what was the hottest that you could stand?
So you're referring back to the hot sauce competition we'd have in the office. Okay. Yeah, we had quite a few bottles of hot sauce in that old refrigerator, and there was some real hot stuff called Satan's blood and whatever, and I tried them all.
Mm-hmm.
I tried them all. Some of them hurt like hell, but I did try them all.
Well, you survived, and I'm glad of that.
I did.
What's in your CD player right now?
Actually, a comedian called Pablo Francisco.
Okay. I have heard Pablo.
Yes, he's the one funny guy.
Okay. Excellent.
Music-wise, nothing really. I'm more of a radio listener. And
okay.
I just channel surf because I get tired of the same thing all the time. I'm constantly flipping back and forth.
You're not in the iPod generation?
No, I'm not. My daughter, Taryn, is.
Okay.
The young ones, they're all into that. But I'm not into that. I got headphones to listen at work, but
okay.
I just stream radio. I don't really, into burning MP3s and stuff like that.
Okay. I just took up my iPod, and I plug it in. I use an iPod TransPod by DLO, and I can play it through my radio. And it's pretty clear, so.
Very cool.
Now, you mentioned this fit. Now, it sounds like an arrow going by, and I don't mean any disrespect, but tell me what PHFIT means.
Oh, not an arrow. One guy actually said, hey, that sounds like the rockets at the park when they take off.
Yes.
So, no, I said, no, that's not what it is. FIT is a musical group, a bunch of guys at work we put together, and PHFIT is actually the initials of our last names.
Okay. So let's go ahead and rattle off the members of the band.
Okay, we've got Mike Hashimoto.
Okay.
He's one of our guitarists. We've got Marco Torres, a.k.a. Crusher.
Okay.
He's one of our other guitarists. We have Martin Farrell, he's our drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Gabriel Paloma,
mm-hmm.
he's our bass player. And then there's me.
Awesome.
The lead singer.
Very good. Now, again, more computer geeks in there. Because I know Martin kind of dabbles in that programming stuff, too.
Well, all of us.
Okay.
Well, four out of five of us.
Okay.
Are all kind of computer engineering, if you want to call us geeks.
Okay, I won't call you geeks anymore.
That's okay. No, well, it's true. I'm afraid to say that, but it's true.
Okay. Now, how did you guys start? Who talked to who? How did the first meeting go?
Well, I wasn't even aware of some of the other guys were doing this, but Mike and a couple other guys at the office would get together once in a while and just jam.
Mm.
And Crusher, would talk to Mike at work, and I would talk to him this and that. And Crusher got involved, said, "Hey, I like to jam too." And they're all local, so they would get together. And then Martin came along, and he heard about it. And one of the other guys that was jamming with him couldn't drum anymore, so Martin said, "Oh, I'll play."
Mm.
So, and then Martin said, "Hey, I know somebody. You know, Randy. He sings. Let's talk to him." So we just started, talking about it. I got together with him, and the four of us were kind of got to jam. And Gabe is a good friend of Mike's. That's how he came to the band. So the five of us just got together and started jamming and decided, "Hey, this sounds pretty good. This is kind of fun, and let's run with this. Let's see where it goes."
Okay. There's a lot of bands that stay in the garage.
Yes.
They practice for years, and they're trying to get good enough, quote-unquote, to go out on the road. And when did you know it was time to get out of the garage?
Well, actually pretty quick. Because we just, we're jamming together and decided, hey, let's do something with this. And, everybody was pretty talented, and we decided, well, let's learn a bunch of songs and let's let's just go out in the local bars and just start jamming.
Okay.
So, you know, after about four and a half, 5 months worth of just, I mean, like cramming for a test,
mm-hmm.
just learning songs after song after song, we finally, you know, thought we were close enough, good enough to at least get in front of a get in front of an audience mm-hmm. and to try to play some music. So we did. You know.
Where was your first gig?
Our first gig was here in Garden Grove at the Oasis.
Okay. What was it like for you?
What was it like? Nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
I was nervous. Oh, my gosh. I dabbled in it a little bit, like I said earlier, with a different band almost 10 years ago.
Mm.
And nothing really happened about that. But this was different, and I was nervous. I just, you know, practicing in front of, you know, some friends here or there in a practice room is different than getting up in front of a bar where nobody knows you.
Mm.
And you just get up there, and you're just out there. But it was fun. I had a good time. It was a really good time.
Now, what is the band style? What kind of music do you guys play?
Oh, we do the whole gambit. I mean, we do classic rock, 80s rock. We do some 90s. We do a lot of the stuff that's new on the radio today.
Okay.
We try to appeal to all the audience. You know, the younger crowd, the older crowd. We didn't want to stick ourselves in a category as, oh, we're a classic band, or
mm-hmm.
we're an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got something for everybody, and I think that's what's helped us stay together and get a following.
That's cool. Do you play some dance music, a lot of dance music, or is it?
We do some dance music. Okay. We don't do all dance music. It's, like I said, it's, you know, classic rock, like a, you know, Black Magic Woman, up through, you know, the 80s, you know, more dance stuff. 90s, there was some, you know, Nirvana and that type of stuff.
Well, that is
Chili Peppers.
That is pretty eclectic, yeah.
Yeah, we, you know, and then the new stuff, you know, for some of the younger crowd, we try to, you know, appeal to everybody.
That must be quite a feat to get together, get a group together, jam together, say, okay, I think we can play together. Everybody knows what they need to do. Now let's learn 50 songs.
Yeah.
Now I have to admit to you, is I carry a tune in a bucket now and again, but it's hard for me to remember lyrics to one song, let alone 50. How do you do it?
Oh, I don't.
Okay.
No. I have a hard time remembering some of the lyrics even today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got together, and being that we all worked together beforehand. You know, I knew all these guys before I even knew most of them were into music.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already friends with these guys, and then finding out that, you know, Marco plays guitar, finding out that Mike plays guitar, and I knew Martin played drums, and, you know, it's like getting together to jam with these guys. I love the idea. I'm like, this is going to be fun. So it wasn't just, you know, some guys getting together that, you know, throwing together, let's see if this will work. We already had a friendship with these guys and, you know, already clicked with them, and it was, you know, it just made it that much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, coming together with a short amount of time, trying to come up with that many songs, yeah, it was hard. It was a lot of practice. It was two nights a week going to a practice room every single week, just practicing in my car, practicing mm-hmm. in the house. Every chance I had, I was staring at lyrics,
mm-hmm.
listening to music. And it was a little tough at first, but, you know, it paid off.
You still practice two times a week?
No, we're gigging every weekend. So
okay.
We practice maybe once a month.
Okay.
And every weekend we're gigging somewhere, so that, you know, that takes a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we could probably practice more to come up with some, you know, different stuff, and we don't want our music to get stale.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we try to learn new stuff, whether it's originals or new covers and stuff like that, so that, you know, people don't get tired of hearing you.
How do you know, when you hear a new song, how do you know that's a song we need to play?
Well, it's different for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Martin or Mike might hear something that they just absolutely love, and I'll listen to them and go, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll bring a song to the table, and one of them will go, hey, that's great, and the other one will go, I hate that song,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
which it happens. You know, there's a lot of songs we brought to the table trying to figure out which songs we want to do. And I love this one and that one, and somebody else is like, you know, I really hate that group,
mm.
you know, but I'll do one if everybody wants to. So we all have our different tastes.
Right.
And it was tough bringing all these songs to the table. You know, I got all my lists and they've got their lists, and we just pick from it and find out who dislikes what songs the least. You know?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, at this point, you're probably saying, Jeff, okay, you're talking about this band, you're interviewing this guy, what do they sound like? Well, we have a treat. We have a song they do. It's a cover of the Romantics' What I Like About You. It's great. And here it is, Fit playing What I Like About You.
You have friendship with a lot of the guys, and
oh, yeah.
and the other folks that maybe you didn't know were friends of somebody else in the band. So
yeah,
there is a unit aspect of it.
Yeah, we all worked alongside each other for quite a long time before this all came about.
True. And friendship, even the best friendship, put in tense situations, which probably include gig dates, getting ready for something, causes tension. How do you guys deal with that?
I'm not going to say it hasn't happened, but we just, you know, put that aside. Gig time, you know, we put the game face on, and we just go out there and we just nail it. You know, we just have a good time. And then we talk afterwards, you know, being that we're all computer nerds and whatnot, we all have email, and we just try to talk it out. If something comes up, we try to talk it out during the week and in between, you know, to try to, you know, air out the laundry or whatever, and you know, and it works great.
That's cool.
We've had some tense situations, and we've just worked through them. You know, we talk about it, and, you know, practice or gig time comes around, and we just put it beside and, you know, go about it and just have a good time.
That's fantastic. That is probably one of the lessons that's hardest to learn. I've been in bands before, and normally someone is the strongest person, and if they're not a lead singer or something, say they're a drummer, that's tough to handle.
Yeah.
Because then you have somebody else who is more in the background driving the bus. And unless you're Phil Collins, it's tough to do if you're a drummer. So, I mean, you guys, it seems like you really have things down to a science, and that's really cool. When you know it's tough, you know what to do, so...
Yeah, you know, we're not pros at it by any means, but we've gone through it, so we've learned how to get through it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But it's just all about having fun. It's all about playing the music, and we all realize that. You know, some of the things are just petty, and we just have to, okay, we just compromise and go on our way.
Mm-hmm. That's what a friend of mine who also is in a band says, that we stop playing when it's not fun.
Absolutely. If it's not fun, then then why bother? I mean,
right.
Music's about, you know, having a good time, getting out there performing, or even getting in the studio and just making something your own. That's just fun. That's, you know, something from the heart that just feels good.
Sure.
And when it stops feeling good, it's like, you know, I don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that never comes around.
Sure.
I'm having too much fun.
How big are the crowds when you started? What were they like? Obviously, there were probably folks that were there at the club or wherever. Do people follow you now, or?
Oh, yeah. It's really kind of cool. You start seeing familiar faces, but they're not the faces of your friends.
Mm.
So when we started out, you know, a year and a half ago, started out at the Oasis, and I didn't know anybody there.
Mm.
You know, Mike and Gabe used to, f- f- frequent that bar before we had started, so they knew a lot of the people there, but I didn't know anybody there. So after playing there and playing some other places, and, you know, the people in the bar, you start to know them. You know, and those people, when you start seeing them over and over, you know, that's cool. You know, they're there to have fun and there to hear you and stuff. But when you start seeing them other places,
right,
and then you also start seeing new faces over and over, you know, you just start to get this little following. That feels really good, and that's starting to happen.
That's cool. That's cool that you're noticing that so early on. I mean, a year and a half really isn't that long a time.
It's not really that long. You know, I'm not saying we're, you know, we're filling joints.
No, but...
You know, big places, but we definitely, you know, see a lot of people over and over, which you know, makes you feel good. At least, at least you want to feel that you don't suck. You
sure.
Know, that you're making some good music that people want to hear. And what's nice about it right now is that it's music that they already know. They can come out and, you know, listen to some music that they've heard, that they love, you know, get out there and dance and stuff like that. You know, it's all good.
Now, there are two schools of thought, in my opinion. One where a singer will imitate his favorite singer and make his voice do what they do. And I don't mean Richard Marx, but let's say Roger Daltrey, something like that. I mean, where you just... screaming, doing whatever. But then there's other singers that do something different to the song that fits with their voice, and they do it their way. What is your take on that? How do you approach a song?
Well, being that most of the songs, or just about every one of the songs we're doing right now, are covers, we try to stay fairly true to the song, to the artist. You already mentioned we've got quite a mix, quite a different amount of genres of music that we actually perform. And I have to try to, not necessarily mimic, but I've got to at least stay in vein of the song of the singer who performed it. And I feel I do a pretty good job. I've been told I do a pretty good job. But, yeah, I try to keep a lot of the covers true. Now, there are some other ones that either, A, I don't really, maybe don't care for the way the artist sings it, or I just have a different idea. You know,
right.
Sometimes I'll play with that, and I'll, you know, I'll put my own little bit in there, but when it comes to covers, I more so tend to stay to the you know, the artist.
Well, that's interesting. I'm going to read three bands off of your song list. Blink 182. Okay. Rush, Ozzy Osbourne. Three completely different sounding groups.
Yes.
And that must be quite a feat.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah, trying to sound like him, you know, just screaming. But, you know, Blink 182, you know, for the younger crowd, you know, the newer artists, I don't know that I sound exactly like him, which I'm sure I don't, but I try to at least sing it like him.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
You know, and Geddy Lee of Rush, you know, I can't touch that. You know?
Right.
I just do my best.
Right. Well, and it's odd, just on a bit of a tangent, to go see Boston, the group Boston Now, and now the lead singer, who was the lead singer back in 75, he can't hit those notes he used to.
That's true.
So they've got to hire a younger guy to sing some of the songs and help him hit those high notes.
Some guys can do it, some guys can't.
Right.
In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I saw the Eagles here while they were their tour here in California, and they sounded really good. These guys had a hard time hitting some of the high notes, but jamming after 34 years, I got my hats off to them, man. They were great.
Yep.
And then I've also heard other bands after, you know, a few years, like, you don't sound anything like you did a few years ago, so what gives? They just didn't know what they wanted to do. They haven't figured out their, you know, their story yet.
Sure. Who is the band's producer? Who finds gigs for you guys?
Well, Mike has found most of the places for us. You know,
okay.
We started out at the Oasis, and that was kind of like of a hangout of his. And then just... through another band, we found kind of like not a manager, but like an agent, and he would work with her with different places, and you know, the rest of us would try to find places, but you know, maybe not as successful as he has. So he's pretty much gotten most of our gigs for us.
Okay.
And now they're just, you know, a lot of them are just ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Are there a lot of clubs to play?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's clubs everywhere.
Okay.
We're an Orange County band, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's quite a few places to play here. And, you know, we like to, you know, play in L.A. and stuff, and there's just hundreds of places to play, so there's definitely no shortage.
Okay. What, as you have played out there, as you've seen other bands, you probably, you know, snuck in and watch other bands play. What does a band need to be successful today in the local circuit?
They have to have a whole lot of time.
Okay.
there's a lot to it. Learning music, practicing, you know, with your regular daily life. If you have a job or you don't have a job, you got to factor that in. You know, family life, if you got a family or not. The guys have to mesh. And you need a lot of time. I mean, obviously, you got to have talent, but you just got to put a lot of effort into it.
Right.
If you don't stick to it, it's just not going to go anywhere.
Well, and what's interesting is I think all of you guys, and there's only, I think, one person that I don't know, but I think all of you guys are married.
No, just, well,
okay.
We can, two of us, let's just say two and a half.
Okay.
Two of us are married. One of us has been with the same partner for a while.
Okay.
Two of the other guys are single.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a mix.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't mean to go down that path, but what I was saying is that not only do you have your day job, but you also have friends and significant others and people that you hang around and and it is tough.
You got to juggle it all.
Right.
And it's really hard, especially when one starts stepping on the other's toes, when you know, the personal life starts coming in conflict with music life and vice versa, and the job gets in the way, and it's hard.
Well, there's always you watch any Behind the Music pretty much, and the trouble always starts when one of the band members meets this new girl, and that's when the trouble starts.
Well, thank God that hasn't happened to us yet.
Okay. But I think it's great that you guys have juggled it all together, and it sounds like you guys are just having fun and, you know, meeting people and playing and belting stuff out and getting the aggressions of the day out, and I think that's just awesome.
Yes, there is no better outlet than to go just scream into a microphone.
Yep.
It's just fun. It's just a great time.
And have people clap after.
Yeah, having people look at us, you know, and not stare into space, but have them actually enjoy what they're hearing is feels good.
What would you tell someone if they said, and they're listening right now, they go, you know, I could sing. I think I want to start a band. What would you tell them?
Oh, like I said, I mean, be prepared to invest a lot of time into it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure the people you are jamming with or that you're going to be, you know, looking for, that you click, that you get along, because if you don't, you know, we have our little, you know, we have our little ins and outs here, you know, some troubles here or there.
Everybody does. Yeah.
And, you know, and we work them out, and, you know, we look back and, you know, I'm glad we're, you know, we're adult about it. We can work through these things. And, you know, to spend all this time and not get along with everybody would just, you know, it would hurt it very much. And then not have the time to put in, you know, you just have to invest. You really do.
Well, not to sound too much like Jack Black, but it sounds like you have to pledge allegiance to the band instead of to yourself. And that's what it sounds like.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
You know, if I said that, my wife would say, excuse me?
Well, no. No, what I mean is the band is compromised of five people.
Yes.
But those five people don't say, I am the band. No, the band is the five of us together.
Oh, absolutely.
We make the band.
Absolutely. Okay. None of us think that. At least I don't think any of us do. I don't, for sure. It's definitely a group effort, and
well, it definitely,
it's these other four guys, you know, I wouldn't be here right now. So.
Well, definitely, it definitely sounds that way to me. Now, You're a married guy?
Yes.
Beautiful wife?
Beautiful wife.
Wonderful family?
Lovely children.
Okay. You play in bars, travel, play in one bar, play in another bar, play in another bar. You are in a band. There's a lot of stories that probably are true. How do you deal with the alcohol and the women and all the trappings that surround being in a band?
Well, being that we're not really big,
okay,
we really haven't been exposed to that. Now, being in the bar scene and everything, you get your share of drunks and people coming up to you and thinking they know everything. And there's been some interesting scenes and interesting conversations that happen either during a concert or even after, where you don't know what's going to happen. But I can see a band, a really big band, you know, you get people just throwing themselves at them, wanting to, you know, give you this, give you that, take your money and everything. You know, we're so small right now that that really doesn't happen to us.
Okay.
So it's, you know, I know the stories too, you know, and the hotels and all that stuff, but you know, that's just not happening right now for us, because, you know, that's not where we want to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about that. It's
sure.
about the music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
That's cool.
And what would happen if that happened?
Hopefully it never will.
Yeah, let's just not put ourselves into that spot, right?
Right. At what point will you know that it's time to quit? We're hitting the big time. Is there a certain time that you'll know?
When you say time to quit, that's when it's not fun anymore.
Okay.
It's just, if it's just a dread, well, it's like a job, you know. So everybody's loved their job at one point, and everybody hates their job at one point. And when you hate it, you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if the music gets to that point, which it hasn't, and I hope it doesn't,
mm-hmm.
then that'll tell me it's time to move on, stop completely, because there may be some other priorities in my life. Now, when it comes to it's time to go on to the big time, I mean,
right.
I don't think I'll really know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody really knows that, because it just evolves. It
mm-hmm.
usually doesn't happen overnight. You know, you hear these big sensations overnight, all of a sudden this name is big. But that's kind of rare, and they usually don't last.
Right.
It's the ones that put the time in, like, you know, Sugar Ray. I mean,
mm-hmm.
They were going for years, and then they put their dues in, and they started, you know, they made it.
Right.
And that's inspiring to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know you got to put the time in. Things don't just get handed to you, and if they do, it's usually superficial.
Yeah.
So I really don't think we would know when it's time or when that happens. It's just going to evolve and get bigger and bigger and hopefully better.
Okay. Let's tell us a little bit about your website and what people can find there about you and your band.
Well, it's a little website that Martin and myself run. It's just fit.com, phfit.com. It's, you know, we got some of our music up there that we've recorded. We've got our bios out there. You know, obviously our schedule where you can come catch a show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basically, you know, for, you know, a lot of our friends and those who, you know, us know where to come see us. And hopefully as we get bigger, you know, and we get more hits on the internet, that people will find us by, you know, word of mouth and stuff, and they'll be able to come see our, you know, they'll stumble across our website or actually come search us out. That would be great.
Yep. Okay.
So we're also on MySpace also, which I guess is this other internet to itself. It's huge, and we're on there, and people are constantly slinging comments and whatnot at you, and it's a whole another interesting ball of wax.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, yes. Well, Randy, been great to talk to a computer engineer gone good.
Gone good.
Who?
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, you got to come here to show first, and you let me know if it's good or not.
The site is phfit.com.
That's it.
That's where you can find out Fit's music, and if you're in the SoCal area, you can go see them.
You can come see a show.
Absolutely. Tell Roni's Own Radio sent them.
Roni's Own Radio.
And Randy will just be thrilled to death.
I will, absolutely.
Randy, thanks so much for taking your time.
Well, thank you, Jeff. This was very, very fun.
Come on the show, and maybe we'll talk again.
Absolutely.
Okay, Randy, you take care.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, I had a great time interviewing Randy. He's a good guy. And I have heard some songs downloaded from his site. Unfortunately, at this point, I have not seen the band live. But Colleen and I heard the MP3s that you can download from the FIT website, and it was phenomenal. I was blown away. And so you got to go to this website, check these guys out, listen to their songs. If you live in Southern California, you got to go see these guys. They're good. They're very, very good. And we may have some future plans with them coming up. So anyway, you heard it here first. So hope you enjoy the interview. Please, please, please visit jrd-now.com. That's our website. We have forums. We have articles. We have links. We have reviews. We have a lot of different things going on. We have downloads of Tatooine TV, which is our old parody stuff, our Star Wars parody stuff. And if you have anything to add to me, comments, good or bad or indifferent, please email me at jeff.roney@gmail.com. And as always, I thank you again for downloading this, whether it's a podcast or if it's from the website. I thank you so much for downloading it. Until next time, this is Jeff Roney signing off.
Roney Zone Radio.